Football Thursday, Halloween.
A little thriller.
And lots of thrills going on around the National Football League. Tonight, Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Miami Dolphins. So got a game that is interesting to all of us in the AFC North, especially here, just seeing if maybe the Dolphins maybe can provide some help. I'm not counting on it. You're not counting on it at all.
That's a team that's in turmoil. One of their linemen just went AWOL from the team, will not be playing, going through some type of personal issue. Jonathan Martin, their right tackle, their down receivers. They just lost Brandon Gibson. They're reeling right now, and Cincinnati is streaking. Yeah, it's going to be a tall order for the Miami Dolphins to pull one off tonight.
Dino, we got some calls. All right, let's go with Phil in Brecksville. Hey, Phil.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, buddy.
You know, since we're playing the Ravens, I'm wondering if there'll ever be a repeat Super Bowl champion, and I'm wondering if it is directly related to the salary cap, and also wondering if the owners envisioned this when they signed the last collective bargaining agreement.
I'm not following completely.
Well, look at Joe Flacco and look at every other team, Vic. I mean, you need to retool every single year.
Okay.
So a Super Bowl contender that has to pay their guys, look at, you know, Baltimore is the biggest example. There's so much parity because, you know, you've got Drew Brees and Eli Manning making millions, $20 million when the salary cap is $120. I don't think the teams can repeat. There'll be no more dynasty.
That's a very solid observation, Phil. I think there's some merit to how the cap model is affected by these. You don't necessarily even have to win a Super Bowl, by the way, and then pay that quarterback $120 million as they did with Joe Flacco. You could have a consistently effective, high-end performing quarterback. Doesn't get you to the Super Bowl, but he certainly keeps you in contention each year, and you will spend the money on him, and you will spend so much money on him that you won't have, under the cap regulations, enough to spend on supporting parts, and you'll eventually do what the Ravens had to do and say goodbye to a lot of people in free agency.
Well, and that's exactly right. And you look at, you know, Matt Stafford, Tony Romo, Matt Ryan, all of them got the big paydays over $100 million. Yep. And it puts pressure on the rest of your teams. You're seeing this Atlanta Falcons team fall apart a little bit. You're seeing, you know, the Dallas Cowboys have holes on the defensive side of the ball. And really what it changes, the model becomes, if you do want to pay for that big quarterback, you must hit in the draft. You really can't have a lot of high-priced veterans around a player who's commanding that much salary. So it's a matter of drafting effectively and winning through the draft where you can get these guys now on bargain basement deals for 4 years. That's the model. You have to become more than ever in the history of the National Football League is scouting and drafting important, because it was in the past, because if you were wrong, it cost you so much money.
Sure.
But now you don't have the money to spend to get those guys, so you need to be right in the draft. And I think the Browns are well positioned to have a very good draft here, as we talked about, two firsts, two thirds, two fourths, and a second. And they're also positioned to make some free agent acquisitions. If they can hit on the quarterback, you have a quarterback at a very cheap price for 4 years and can surround him with phenomenal talent. That's why things are going so well for Seattle, because they have Russell Wilson on that deal. The 49ers have Colin Kaepernick on that deal.
Original deals.
Those are the teams that can surround the quarterback with the talent enough to be and have that sustained success going forward.
And this is the counterpoint to what Jim Irsay had brought up the week of the Peyton Manning Bowl in Indianapolis, saying that the models change, we want to do it differently. Well, frankly, he has no other choice to do it the way it's being done with Andrew Luck, because he's like Wilson, like Kaepernick. He's in that first deal too, so they can afford to build other pieces around him for now. But I'll tell you what, if Andrew Luck is still the quarterback that a lot of people think he will be 4 years from now or 3 years from now, they're going to pay the piper with him.
No question.
So the model will change. It's not something, you know, Irsay, the disingenuous part of what Irsay said that was obviously came off as critical of Peyton Manning prior to that game was that Manning was getting all the money and nothing was left for anyone else. That was true, but changing the model changed once you said goodbye to Manning and you drafted your quarterback and you found him at the top of the draft, and now you get a few years of luxury of not having to pay him that kind of outrageous money, so to speak, the high-end money, whatever the market bears is what it bears. I won't call it outrageous, but whatever that market is for the quarterback, and the model does require you to make sacrifices at the other end. The really good teams, as you point out, draft and manage their cap well with hitting on these picks. I mean, rookie receivers have to be contributors. Rookie running backs have to be players. Rookie offensive linemen have to step in and play, not just play, but play at a high level.
Right, and you look at Seattle. They got Richard Sherman late in the draft. He's going to have to be paid at some point. You know, Bruce Irvin's going to have to be paid. But it's getting those guys in the draft that allow you to be successful. And I will say the one thing that was right that Jim Irsay was saying from that standpoint is that if you're trying to reset your team and start over, it's better to have the four-year, you know, window to kind of retool the team without paying that big salary to the quarterback. Of course he's going to have to do it. I'm sure he'll be glad to do it with Andrew Luck, who will still be young at that point and can be the quarterback and face of the franchise for a long time.
Sure.
But it's a changing game and a changing dynamic. And you look at, you know, you either need a quarterback who is willing to sacrifice a little bit financially for the betterment of his organization,
right,
or you need to be a consistently good drafting team. And that's why you see teams like the New England Patriots, who, despite a lot of turnover, a lot of turmoil, have managed to stay so good despite paying Tom Brady a lot of money, is because they're constantly stockpiling draft picks. Everything they do is to try to get more and more picks, because those are the cheap assets that they can exploit going forward and utilize to give themselves maybe a team that is overall better than what they could afford on the open market. And
yeah,
that's why you're seeing so many more undrafted free agents on rosters every single year. At the bottom of your roster, you're not paying a veteran, you know, who might be 5% better or 10% better than an undrafted free agent. You're not paying them the $800,000.
And it's precisely the direction of where this team is going, has been going, the path that it's on. But it's a lot like turning an ocean liner. You know,
yep,
when you have an ocean liner and you don't make those quick turns, right? So that slow, deliberate turn to this type of approach is the painful part of it, because you keep saying, when are we turning? And you are turning. You are moving in that direction. The undrafted players that were put on this roster, a whole bunch of them when this season started, the acquisition of players as you go along, the Fozzie Whitakers and others, who are good cap fits, who fit the profile not only in terms of their age, where they are, their youth, but also their dollars, their cap fit. All of that is very important. And all of it is being done with the thought in mind that come May, come the draft, you'll be able to find that quarterback, you'll be able to find those other offensive pieces who, as rookies, are going to be significant players for you. You hope you could wait a little bit. I think the ideal scenario for a lot of us is that Brian Hoyer and or Jason Campbell, but I think it's more likely that it's Hoyer, who, by the way, I saw off crutches today. He had him on at lunch, but I saw him walk by the studio earlier without crutches. So he clearly, you know, the progress you want to watch from him. If he's back and he's in form, hopefully he's the bridge. Hopefully he's holding down that fort. You don't need to turn to the rookie right away. That Brian Hoyer can take you into 2014. I'd love that scenario. Take you into 14. Let the rookie watch and learn, because there will be one there to watch and learn. Help develop the other younger players that you're going to also bring into the draft. And now you got something foundationally that fits and could work and be good for a long time.
Absolutely. And if the rookie comes in and is that good that he gets to play week one, that's great too.
Yeah.
Either way. But yes, I think having, you know, somebody here to stabilize the position, that's going to help and ease this transition. And I really believe that next year, this Browns team, if they can have the strong finish to the season that you and I truly believe that they can, whether that be a 4-4 or 5-3 finish over the next 8 games, and I think they can do that. This is a team that I believe next year, following some moves in the offseason, addressing some of the offensive deficiencies, getting the quarterback, making a splash in free agency with some of the money they have under the cap, re-signing and keeping some of the key pieces like an Alex Mack, like a TJ Ward. I think this is a team that is legitimately going to wake up next year. And even you, and the man of perspective, will say this is a team that should go to the playoffs in 2014.
Even me. Hey, Terrence on the cell is with us now. Hey, Terrence.
Hey guys, I'm glad you brought Frosty Whitaker. You know, I'm hoping this Sunday that they, use him a little more in the middle screens and on the outside. What's your guys' take on that?
Been pushing that hard.
Yeah, I'd like to see it because you look at this team and you think about, you know, where are the big plays going to come from? And certainly Fozzie Whitaker showed something on that touchdown reception. It just adds another element of speed to this offense. And that's what I want to see, a little more speed, a little more danger coming out of the backfield. Willis McGahee, phenomenal between the tackles. He's a guy who can obviously get the job done there. But at the end of the day, you need some mismatches. You need guys in space. And this is a team that's got to manufacture some big plays from people other than Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron. And right now, I think Fozzie Whitaker is a guy who can help that happen. So I do agree with you, and I hope that that happens.
I do, too. More of your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweets at Browns_daily. A Halloween edition on a Thursday here of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.